Hello, everyone, and welcome to Talk with a Doc's Wellness Brief, a podcast offering a quick dose of healthcare information on a wide range of topics. I'm Scott Acord, and my guest today is Dr. Nancy Eisenberg, a neurologist who is the medical director of the Center for Healthy Aging. She is also the medical director of our Women's Brain Health Program, and she's here to talk to us today about a topic very much in the news right now, primary progressive aphasia and frontotemporal dementia. Over the last couple of years, two high-profile celebrities, Bruce Willis and Wendy Williams, were both diagnosed with this progressive neurological condition. And our listeners have a lot of questions. There's a lot to cover in a short period of time, so let's get right into it. Welcome, Dr. Eisenberg. For those of you who don't know, what is aphasia and frontotemporal dementia, and how are they linked?
Thank you for that important question, Scott. Frontotemporal dementia and primary progressive aphasia are clinical syndromes caused by an underlying neurodegenerative disease that affects frontotemporal regions in the brain. And they're characterized by progressive changes in behavior, executive function, and language. Specific syndromes include behavioral variant, FTD, with early prominent change in personality, disinhibition, or impulsivity, and primary progressive aphasia with early language symptoms.
So what are the symptoms?
The symptoms of frontotemporal dementia are marked change in personality with socially inappropriate behavior, loss of manners, impulsivity, apathy or lack of motivation can also be seen, as well as lack of empathy, which can be especially challenging for family members and friends. Compulsive or ritualistic behavior can also be seen, repetitive movements and stereotypic speech, along with very commonly a new predilection for sweets. Symptoms of primary progressive aphasia include impaired language comprehension and expression, depending upon the subtype of fluent or non-fluent speech, may be more affected compared to, say, comprehension early on. And typically in frontotemporal dementia or primary progressive aphasia, visual spatial processing and memory are preserved early on.
Is this genetic? And if so, are there any tests to see if you're at risk?
Yeah, most cases of primary progressive aphasia are sporadic, and around 10 to 20% of cases of frontotemporal dementia are genetic. So if there is a strong family history of early onset dementia, then you may want to see a genetic counselor, and there are genetic tests that can be done.
Can we do these tests here at Providence?
Yes, we can. But what I want to also add, you know, unfortunately, these patients are often misdiagnosed with a psychiatric condition along their diagnostic odyssey, you know, especially those who present with marked personality or behavior change. And these delays in diagnosis can result in significant financial and social consequences. So if you have a family member who you think has a change in personality that's uncharacteristic or language issues, then I would strongly encourage them to seek an evaluation with a cognitive neurologist. And then, you know, because, you know, early education and connection with programs and services and care partner support, advanced care planning, legal and financial planning, especially in frontotemporal dementia, are so key. And in some cases, early speech therapy may be helpful in primary progressive aphasia as well.
Is it possible to slow down the progression, or is that on a track that we can't control?
So exercise, cardiovascular exercise, and cognitive engagement have been shown to be beneficial in known cases of pre-symptomatic genetic frontotemporal dementia. That's people who carry the gene but don't yet have the symptoms. And then there are smaller studies in people who are living with this neurodegenerative condition, and by incorporating these approaches, they can slow down the disease. This has been less well studied, however.
It has been talked about in the media that Wendy Williams' dementia was caused by her alcohol abuse. Could alcohol play a role?
Yeah. So alcohol is at high doses known to be neurotoxic and may have played a role in her dementia, along with her genetics, environmental factors, and her other lifestyle risks. The alcohol alone is not likely to have caused her primary progressive aphasia.
So are more people being diagnosed with primary progressive aphasia and frontotemporal dementia? Or are we just hearing more about it because of these two high-profile celebrities who have recently been diagnosed?
Yeah, I suspect that, you know, because Bruce Willis and Wendy Williams have been diagnosed, there's been a lot more visibility for frontotemporal dementia and primary progressive aphasia, not unlike when Robin Williams was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. And years ago, frontotemporal dementia was considered rare, but it's the most common cause of dementia in people younger than 60, with prevalence rates ranging from 2 to 20 per 100,000. And unlike Alzheimer's disease, where 2 out of 3 people who are living with Alzheimer's are women, there is no known sex difference in frontotemporal dementia or primary progressive aphasia.
Are younger people being diagnosed with this form of dementia?
This is an early onset form of dementia. So most people develop symptoms under the age of 60.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
What is the number one thing family and friends can do to support someone living with dementia?
It really takes a village. So get help early on, support and education early on. We have a team-based approach. We're fortunate here to have a social worker and a neuropsychologist, cognitive specialists, neuropsychiatrists. Get that help early on. Get the diagnostic workup to make sure that there's nothing else contributing that may be a modifiable risk that you could optimize and improve upon. There's a number of associations, such as the Association for Frontotemporal Dementia and the National Aphasia Association, which are great resources. In addition, the Alzheimer's Association has resources for people living with dementia and their families. And in the state of Washington, there's a tremendous amount of programs and services and resources that have been created through the Dementia Action Collaborative as well.
As we wrap up, is there anything I didn't touch upon you'd like to talk about?
If you know of someone who has changes in their behavior or language function, it's really important to get them to have an appropriate comprehensive evaluation.
Well, thank you, Dr. Yeah. Eisenberg. I really appreciate you coming on here and answering our questions about this very much in the news topic.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
I also want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. If you would like to get continued information on other important healthcare topics, please subscribe to Talk with a Doc on your favorite podcast platform. And make sure to listen to all of our shows on Lit Live Radio under Future of Health or your favorite podcast platform. You can also follow us on social media. We can be found on Twitter and Facebook at Providence and on Instagram under Providence Health Systems. To learn more about our mission, programs, and services, go to providence.org. And please remember, the information provided on this program is for educational purposes only. You should always consult a healthcare provider if you have any questions regarding a medical condition or treatment. Thanks for listening, and remember, at Providence, your health matters to us.